back from the Samoan Islands. And this has been a trip that the Lord has allowed me to make every year for some time now. And Lord willing, I hope to continue to make this trip every year. And again, I'll remind you, as I showed you not too long ago, what part of the world we're dealing with in the South Pacific. And the influence of the gospel that's occurring there, that has been occurring for a number of years now, but especially the effort that is initiated by my brother and his wife and is supported by Keith Sharp in Arkansas. He's been very instrumental in spreading the word there, and then the Lord allowing me and my family to have a part in that over the recent years. Like I said earlier, I am dizzy right now because we have not much sleep. I took a screen. I set the timer when I got to the airport Thursday night in American Samoa before we headed back here. And so I'm standing in line. I said, okay, let's start the stopwatch and see how long it takes us to get back to Indiana. And we started the journey because, you know, it's a long flight over there and you have to go to different places to try and make it there. They don't have a direct shot from Kokomo to Samoa, unfortunately, and so I had to go to all these different places in the world to try and get back home, and delays here, you know, whatever. So 38 hours later, we are standing in the driveway in Rucheville, and that's when I stopped that and took a screenshot of that. And that happened, of course, Thursday night. This was already after being up Thursday. So it's just all messed up. I mean, sleep is just like, I read about it sometime. That's just how long ago that was. Even we got home, unpacked. We got home about 6, unpacked, cleaned up, went to bed. I was asleep. We were asleep by 8. I woke up at 2. So, yeah, I know. That's the way it is now. I guess that's going to happen for a while. And if I fall asleep in the sermon, I hope you understand why that's what's happening. But I was very fortunate, very thankful to make that. And I do want to thank you. The church here was a great contributor to some of the funds that needed in traveling. It's not a cheap endeavor to go around the world. And the brethren here and the brethren in other places, both churches and individuals, were very generous, as has always been the case. And the Lord has blessed us so tremendously with people who see the need for this type of work. And I did have a new companion this year. This was one day when we were showing her American Samoa, and I was very grateful to have my wife by my side. And, you know, all the other years I've gone with other people and then our children one at a time. And now, you know, the plan was to reset all that and for our children to go through again and everybody get the experiences again. And after taking this woman, she's like, nope, from now on I'm coming. So now I told the brethren in Samoa, you may never see my children again. Because now I have a new travel companion who is basically telling me, demanding that she is going to go from now on. And because she was received very well there. And the brethren loved her, the people loved her, and she loved them. It was a very good experience. And Lord willing, she will be able to go with me because she helped out tremendously in the teaching with the women, which I think is a very integral part of the growth of the gospel in that area. It was because of the influence of women. And so I'm grateful to have her by my side. And again, we went to work with my brother and his wife, who have been there. Of course, he was raised there. And he married a woman who is Samoan as well, though they've had a lot of experience in the States. Nevertheless, they've been there for a number of years, and they're rooted there in the community in American Samoa and have made roots in Western Samoa. And so I'm very indebted to my brother Alex, who translates for me while we're there. And she, of course, Wena, is a very important figure in helping the women there understand the gospel and the teaching that's involved. And I was glad that Stephanie got to work alongside Wena this year, because that is just, I just can't overemphasize the value of those efforts and the tremendous good that they are doing. And Wena is certainly to be commended, because this woman loves the gospel and she loves the teaching of the truth, and that influence is felt in that part of the world. And from these efforts, I remind you of Sister Tuli, who is in Western Samoa, and she is modern-day Lydia. Like I told you before, from Acts 16, here's a woman who has a tremendous influence in the community, is a businesswoman, using her resources to serve the Lord. The church meets in her house that is beginning there, that has been in development for a number of years now. And she is just a tremendous woman of God. Every time we go there, she has found more people to bring into these meetings to hear the truth for the first time. And it's never ending what influence she has in that community. And it's just so encouraging to see her faith and dedication to the Lord. Certainly love her for that. We met in her house. We went to Western Samoa first. And this is what ultimately happened in the layout of the sermons that I taught. I had other plans, I had other ideas, but because of the needs and because of the questions that came up, these are the lessons that unfolded. And again, each lesson is translated, and so you had to have efforts put forth in English and Samoan, because English is, yes, spoken by a number of people there. You still have some who speak mostly Samoan, or at least reason in Samoan. And so to have it explained in their native tongue really just reinforces the lessons even more. And I'm very much thankful for my brother who has that skill. So these were the lessons we taught, and a number of questions after most of the lessons that led to the other lessons, so on and so forth. And I just wish you were there. I wish you could see this. I wish you could see what it's like for people to be hungry for the truth and to have the questions that are there and just the tremendous opportunities. And again, we're not dealing with a large number of people at each setting, but each setting was so important. I mean, we sometimes think, well, it has to be in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in order for it to be important and in order for it to be effective in God's will. But if you look, even when Paul started with the church at Ephesus, the Bible says this great church began with just 12 people. And you don't think about that often. When you read the Bible, you just assume, well, you're dealing with hundreds of people at every church, and that's just not the case. That's not always the case. And so these were not very large gatherings, but we were grateful for every soul who was present because they were there because they wanted to be there. And so we were meeting in Sister Tuli's house at various times, and we would address the topic at hand, and then we would have questions to follow. And because of this, it kind of led to something that was really interesting in the way some of the lessons went. Of course, at every lesson we emphasize the plan of salvation. You've seen here as well. But in this particular meeting there in Western Samoa, Vimoso, there was a woman there that Sister Tuli had invited, who was a religious-minded woman, and she was at these lessons. We started on a Sunday, and she was there for the lessons that Sunday, that Monday with Stephanie and Lena during the day. They met with the women, and then at night, we had more of these lessons. And this one particular lady, who's Teresa, and here's a picture of her on the right, with her husband, Jeff, and that's, I think they just say that to accommodate me, because I would not know how to say the Samoan name, but yet, that's how they identify themselves, because I don't believe her husband speaks a whole lot of English. But anyway, she was there. And like I said, that listening very intently, asking good questions, Stephanie and Wenna met with the women Monday and then Tuesday during the day, and they had Bible studies with them. And I was very proud of what Stephanie had done. In fact, I keep a journal whenever I go every day, and I try to highlight some of the things, though, as much as I can. And going back to my journal, on Monday, on September 30th at 10 a.m., I wrote, Stephanie studied with the women at Tui's house with Winna there by her side. Stephanie read me her outline that she had prepared on what it means to be a New Testament Christian, and it is a sound of an outline that can be made. Emphasis on studying the Bible, respect and authority of the Scriptures, non-denominational Christianity, etc. And so she's leading this study that Monday. And that night, we get back to our services, and at 7 p.m., here's what happened. We began services at Sister Tui's with only a handful, that is 12 people present. My aunts were not there. There's a story behind that. I had an aunt from Australia who was in, an aunt from New Zealand that was in, visiting her aunt that lives there in Western Samoa because my mom was supposed to go, but she had to back out. So the sisters, that most of them that were still alive, were planning to meet up. Well, anyway, my aunts were not there. We had a song and prayer. Then I preached on the parable of the sower, emphasizing the importance of being honest with God's word and abiding in it continually. During the question and answer, one lady who was there for Sunday services as well as the ladies' Bible study asked about baptism and the things I said about entering Christ. This led to further questions, which eventually led to me changing my second sermon to "Into What Were You Baptized?" Afterwards, this precious soul realized she had never obeyed the Lord's baptism, even though she was a devoutly religious woman as a member of the Assembly of God. So she asked if she could obey the Lord's baptism tonight, which we gladly encouraged her to do so. And in my journal I said, we got to the boat dock, guys, back, the sea was choppy, but Teresa was baptized into the Lord. We prayed there along the shore and rejoiced with the angels in heaven over this precious woman's sincerity in her sins. And what's interesting, this is all in my journal, is after she met with us on Sunday, she went to her services at the Assembly of God, but soon noticed a big difference. There it was, charismatic, but at our services, we had emphasized examining the Scriptures and obeying God's Word. Then, when she went to the class where Stephanie had emphasized New Testament Christianity, studying the Bible and testing all things, Teresa knew she had found something special. It all came to a head at services when she finally heard and obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time. And so those are some of the thoughts from that. But I was very grateful to see this. I was very grateful to see an honest response. And again, you probably can't, I mean, this is at night, and it's, you know, you're in the ocean. And so she and I are there, and we're shining the headlights on the water, and the people who were with this small group, they're on the shore, and Stephanie's taking this picture. And I'm in the water, and I'm looking for sharks, I'm telling you, because I'm just like, I just know this is how it's going to end. But I look around, and then I say what I have to say, and we immerse this beautiful soul into Christ, and she was just so tremendous to see that kind of humility and honesty with the Scriptures. Because in that question and answer period, that Monday night, one of the questions she asked was, you know, if you've been baptized before, does God let you be baptized again? And I told her, I said, well, if you never obeyed it for the first time the right way, He not only lets you, He expects you to obey it for the right reason. So she was just a very tremendous woman, and we're just so proud of her and her devotion to the Lord. But that's not the only one. Tuesday, while Stephanie and Winna were studying with the women, my brother and I met with Josh and Brenda. And what's interesting about Josh is that he is the son of a man who was converted years ago, but Josh was converted years ago. And he's still faithful to the Lord, which is always encouraging to see, because that's not always the case, even there. But he had an addition this year with the addition of his wife. Thank you, Randy, for this. And his wife is from New Zealand, a young woman, where her family is, but his family has moved to. And so they're planning on moving there as well eventually. But he wants us to come there and do the teaching there and have these lessons there as well, because he, too, is very impressed with the emphasis on Scriptures and the simplicity of it and the way things are conducted. And so hopefully that's in the mix as well, because that would be a tremendous opportunity to go there. But he and I, Alex and I, I'm sorry, met with Josh and Brenda at the hotel one morning, and they had asked for some guidance from the scriptures on marriage and how to have a godly marriage and things of that nature. And we studied for a couple of hours, my brother and I, and these people speak English no problem. But it was one of the most rewarding moments I ever had there in Samoa, because you had people who were just wanting to know more and more about not only how to have a godly marriage, but addressing God's restrictions on marriage and divorce and things like that. They were very, very appreciative of that. And that was a very encouraging thing to see. And so I'm very, very honored to have them as friends in the Lord, and brothers and sisters. And here's some people, some of the people who were there at Sister Tui's. The last Sunday we were there. And this is not everybody who was there. I mean, even my sister-in-law, Rowena, is not in this picture. But here are many of the good souls who were. So it was a very rewarding time. But that's how it started out in Western Samoa. And then, still at Western Samoa, we went the next few days to the village that my mom is from, where relatives still live. And this is the view from the village looking out across the water at one of the islands that was nearby. But the village we were in is Mulifanua, and we were meeting in the home of a cousin of my mom's. And this is an elderly woman now who is really married to the cousin, but anyway, that's the way this family's set up. It's their intimacy there. But what's neat is the woman that's sitting, here's the cousin, but the woman sitting right there is my mom's actual sister from Tonga. And she had come in for this couple of weeks, and that was my first time to meet her. And she had come out to support the lessons that were here on the other side of the island, which were, you know, this was not an easy drive. It's an hour away, one way from where we were. But she had come out there and stayed with the family those days just so she could support and see the efforts being done in the home that night, each night, because this was the second year of teaching that my brother and I were able to do. And, you know, this family and the number of children, that too was something that really impressed Stephanie. Sister T sang songs of them in Samoan and English, and then Stephanie did some one other night. Very encouraged, very well-trained children who have been taught so many good things about God. But it's just a really good atmosphere, and yeah, obviously it's a very simple setting. No air conditioning, nothing like that. But it was a setting where there was love and a lot of appreciation for what was being done. And as long as this door is open, we will continue to take advantage of that, because they were very receptive and continued to allow us to come back. And like I said, this was an hour from where we were staying. 1 hour drive one way, and then 1 hour back. And then we were there itself for 2 hours, teaching the lessons, interacting, answering questions. Here are some of the questions that were brought up from each lesson. But once again, you know, I had certain ideas of things I wanted to get to, but because of the questions, we ended up emphasizing a lot of other things, especially that of baptism. And, you know, unfortunately, no one obeyed the gospel during those efforts, but I'm convinced that the truth was taught and they understood it, and that, Lord willing, when my brother goes back, and even in November when Keith Sharp goes this year, just a month away, he'll be able to build on what was planted, and hopefully some souls will obey the gospel from that. But it's just a really tremendous thing to see the simplicity in the midst of poverty, and the joy in the midst of poverty, and of course the love that's there, and just so grateful to have you know, this chance to be with family and then, of course, to engage in the teaching. And I, again, tried to address things that would emphasize salvation and the true church of the New Testament, respecting God's Word and things of that nature. And yes, you know, I do wear a skirt when I'm there preaching. Telling you, that's the way to go if you're a guy. It really is. I mean, things just, it's just nice, you know. It really is. But I had to go ahead and leave the skirts there because I don't see that happening here in Kokomo. I don't know if it's going to transition too well. So anyway, but that is a formal attire there, and it's very respectful attire. They wear it in business, and, you know, it's just government. It's a very respectful attire there. Well, anyway, I'm there. My brother, of course, is translating and making a big difference in explaining all that. And so it's just tremendous to have this opportunity with family and to teach God's Word there. Then we go back to Vimoso to finish up the week and emphasize other things. And then we taught on Sunday. That second Sunday we were there, had lessons, and then we caught a 1:30 flight that day, and we flew for 30 minutes and landed in American Samoa where it was Saturday. And so we went over the dateline and had to do it all over again. I took the, you know, we went through all that again, which is good, which is fine. But we were there in Leone, the village of Leone in American Samoa. And again, I was very grateful to see the people who were still there and who were still faithful after all these years. It's, you know, there's a lot of different issues they're up against, and a lot of things are no different than what you and I experience, of people falling away or quitting or moving away, so on and so forth, and that's what they're confronted with as well. Here's an example of how each lesson was laid out. Here's one of the lessons I taught, and I would take the text and then, of course, get the Samoan translation, and my brother would emphasize this for me. You might recall a sermon on Simon the Magician, and I took that sermon and adapted it and really emphasized some things that could hit home there. But you can get an idea of what it was like for them to hear it in the English and then to see it in the Samoan, and it just really, my brother says, it just really enhances the whole thing. And this again is another chart that was used, but every chart was like this and every sermon was like this, so you had to, you know, spend the time to get things set up. But here's a picture of one night at one of those services. You might think, well, there's not hardly anybody there. But actually, that's the most people that's been there in years because of what they've been up against. And so they were very excited to have that number of people. That was actually surpassing their record attendance in recent years. And so, very encouraged by the people who were there, both from the community, the brethren who were there, and all the efforts that were being put forth. And again, good questions being asked each night. Now, I do need to point this out. On one of the nights we're there and teaching, I tried to highlight that hole up there in that curtain, which is outside the wall. You know, I'm sitting there teaching one side and my brother's on the other, and I'm looking at him. And this creature comes crawling across the stage, and I am not kidding. I couldn't believe a rat came out from the Lord's table and was going across the stage up that back wall, up the pole. And yeah, I got scared. I did. I told them, this thing was huge. I mean, it was that big. And the tail was that long. And she could testify. I'm not making this up. I told them, I said, hello, we call these squirrels in the United States. Never seen anything that big. But, you know, my brother's like, yeah, we got to address that. Yeah, I think you do. But the hole up there in the curtain, I had noticed that when I first got there. I didn't know what it was. But apparently that's the front door to where this mouse goes through. So, yeah, it is something. I mean, it really is something, the environment there. But again, getting back to what matters most, we were there, we were teaching. This is a really good sermon I taught in every place, I believe, we were at, on things I wish I could preach, which is a very good sermon on dealing with the fundamentals. And again, we had good questions at every lesson. A lot of good leads there in American Samoa. I'm very appreciative of my niece, Danny, right here, Danielle. This is Alex and Winna's daughter, one of three, but this is the one that lives in Samoa. And her husband, Brandon, and I'm just so grateful for him because he's starting to really develop and take a lead there in the church there, and he's able to help out, fill in when Alex is not available. And he was leading singing at every service, and he would lead Samoan-based songs and then English-based songs, and really talented guy, very good family, very appreciative of them. And this is his nephew that they're helping raise right now, who is hoping, he's a senior in high school, he's supposed to be a really good football player, he's hoping to get a full ride, or at least a scholarship in Missouri. But a lot of good things here, and I'm just very grateful for this family right here and their love and their dedication. Now, Sunday night of the meeting there in American Samoa, we had to hurry and finish by 5:45 because at 6 o'clock they have this curfew that is enforced throughout the island where various villages will have people posted during this curfew time. Well, you're not allowed to leave the main road. You're not allowed to drive through the villages or even your driveway. In fact, they ring a bell, and the purpose behind it is to get people in to pray to God. And it's a curfew for 20 to 30 minutes at that time of day. And then at night, they do another one at 10 o'clock. All teenagers have to be off the streets. And my brother said it's really, the possibility of gang activity is just not there because you have this enforcement from in the community to keep young people under control. But you have this taking place, and in fact, we left and we got back to my brother's driveway, but by the time we got back to my brother's driveway, it was after the saw had begun, the curfew had begun. So we had to park in his driveway and wait for it to end before we could finish driving up to his house. I mean, that's how enforced this thing is. But that made an impression on Stephanie, and she wanted a picture of that, and I thought it'd be good for you to see that as well. What are the chances, of our nation enforcing a law that says for 20 to 30 minutes a day you need to go in and pray to God? This is how different things are there. I mean, there are a lot of similarities, but a lot of differences as well. And I really appreciate the respect for God that's just really inherent in the culture there. But I do want to just say, again, thank you. I appreciate the support, both financially, but especially emotionally and spiritually. The love, I appreciate you so much. And it's just a real big delight to go and know you have the support of brethren here. I do want to emphasize a few things that were, highlighted for me and Stephanie. One is attendance does matter, and I made this note in my journal. On the way out, there's only two flights a week to Samoa from the States, and so you have to get there at a time where you can still prepare to make that connecting flight. And so we got there on a Wednesday going out. We got there in Hawaii on a Wednesday. And we were already tired after, traveling a couple of days, seeing family in Texas, so on and so forth. We get there and we're tired, Stephanie and I are. But we decide to go to services anyway on that Wednesday night. And I have been going to services there every time I'm through there over the last number of years. And this was a Wednesday night, and about 2 o'clock your time, we're going to services in Hawaii to be with the brethren. And they were so grateful. They were so appreciative of our presence because normally they have a lot of visitors, yes, but it's only on Sunday morning. Tourists, Sunday morning, then Sunday night, Wednesday night, nowhere to be found. And so every time I've been going through there, it's been on a Wednesday night to catch that Thursday flight to Samoa. But they were just very appreciative of us, and it was good to see them. It was good for them to meet Stephanie. And I just was impressed again with the need to attend and how important it is for our faith in encouraging other brethren. I think it's important for us to remember that what we're doing is trying to keep the truth alive in this world, the story of the Bible, and teaching that truth. And that's what we're doing. All of us as God's people, and that's why these efforts are so important. I think it's important for us to remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, that, you know, he planted, another watered, but the Lord gave the increase, and that's exactly what we're doing now. I mean, yeah, we didn't rake in baptism after baptism after baptism, but so? The truth was taught. I think the seed was planted, and another person is going to come and water it, either my brother, or Brother Keith. Other efforts will be made, and the Lord will give the increase. And I think that's something to celebrate and be thankful for as well, every opportunity. And then I'll just say this, that yes, every soul matters. You know, again, we think, well, if you don't have hundreds and hundreds of people present, then it's a vain effort. And that, of course, is just nonsense. Noah had only 7 other people with him and serving God. And so, I'm telling you, we might think, well, this is not a very big crowd. This is. You need to go somewhere where people are struggling to get what we have, and the establishment and the organization. Very fortunate to have one another. And so these are just some of the lessons I thought were good and important to share with you, and I appreciate your patience in letting me explain some of these things. And hopefully some things were said even here to encourage us. But at every lesson, we were doing this and emphasizing this beautiful plan of redemption. And you can see that the New Testament book titles are translated in Samoan there. But that's the same book. You know, Acts 13 and verse 39 is teaching us to have faith in Christ. Acts 17 and verse 30, God commands all men everywhere to repent. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, confession is made into salvation. And then in Acts 22 and verse 16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so I share with you what I shared with people there. That if you want to be set free from sin, you need to be in Christ. And the only way you can get in Christ, according to the New Testament, is through baptism. That's what adds you to the body of Christ, Galatians 3:27. And so we encourage you to see that and obey that today. If you are a Christian and have not been faithful, this is the plan that God wants us to follow. Again, based on faith. And then from James chapter 5 and verse 20,